This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. My website has the program on it. You can re-listen to it there. You can download it to your computer if you would like. It also has a weekly meditation there that you can read. And in addition, if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, I'll need your name and address so I can send it along to them. So if you need my address or my website, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so we can, so you can write it down at the close of the program. Now, we were been reading from Luke chapter 2, and of course we've been going through the Christmas story. And as we look at the birth of the Lord Jesus, it's interesting that we ended last time with Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, which says, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Now his mother kept all these things in her heart. As we've been looking at the birth of the Lord Jesus, we have come to the point where at 12 years old, he went into the temple and began reasoning with the teachers in the temple instead of being with his family as they were going home. And we raise the issue, was he disobedient here? Because the Lord had no sin in him. He knew no sin. He was not born with a sin nature. He was the Son of God. And so the question is, was he disobedient here? And he makes it clear to his mother in this event that he was about his father's business. And what he is declaring is that his father in heaven is the one to whom he is accountable, and he was doing his father's business. Now, this is one of the things I think that Mary was thinking about and was considering when it says she kept all these things in her heart. Mary seemed to be a quiet woman who pondered the events that were taking place. It's interesting that meditation is something that seems to be gone in our society. We have so much noise that it's hard just to sit and think about things in a quiet way. But I think Mary was one who thought about things, meditated on them in a quiet way, trying to understand the things that were taking place. And so it is true that Mary and her father and her husband, the Lord's stepfather, were concerned about the fact that the Lord was not with them. They had expected him to be with them. But at the same time, the Lord had reached the age of 12 years old, and in a sense, he's establishing his independence and showing who he must serve. And she's thinking about these things because from the beginning, she's been told that he was a child of promise. She knew she had not had an immoral relationship with Joseph in order to have the Lord Jesus as her firstborn son. She knew that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She knew the angels had announced him. She knew that the Magi had come to him. Actually, they may come to him a little later than this. There's some question as to where in the story the Magi actually come to the Lord Jesus. But if they haven't been there already, they're going to be. And she's been pondering these things in her heart. And it would be nice if on this season we could step aside ourselves and just meditate on the real reason that the Lord Jesus came into this world. We know that we all like to visualize a birth. We all like to think about a baby being born. We take pictures of our newborn babes. We even post them on Facebook. We rejoice with people who have a healthy birth. We're glad when the birth is a relatively easy birth, and we're glad when the child has been born and when this new life comes into the world. We're always happy about that. We like to think about new life, and yet we have been reminded that in the case of the Lord Jesus, Simeon had said to Mary, "A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." And I'm sure that's one of the things that she kept in her heart, that she thought about. So we need to step back and realize that while every one of us is born to die, apart from the Lord's return, every one of us is born to die. In the Lord's case, it was extremely important that we understand that he came into this world not just to live and to show us how to live, not just to be a good teacher, not just to teach us the things about God. He came to be our Savior. He was the only one who, as a sinless, perfect sacrifice, could stand in our place and bear our sins in his own body on the tree. He was going to be rejected of men. His own nation was going to reject him. And he was going to be crucified outside of Jerusalem, outside the camp, it says in Hebrews chapter 13. So the Lord was born for a purpose. And his death was not going to be wasted. His death was going to be on a cross so that he could be the sacrifice for our sins. Even John the Baptist, when he saw him, pointed him out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world." And that's what the Lord Jesus did. And I'm sure that it must have been something for Mary to ponder if she really understood the prophecy of Isaiah that he would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and with his stripes, well, we would be healed. If she knew that prophecy, and if she knew that in the Psalms, for example, the 22nd Psalm, it was going to tell how he would die. "They pierced my hands and my feet." If she understood that, then the blessing of bringing a child into the world must have weighed heavily upon her as she thought of the sorrow that this child was going to endure, and she was going to endure as a mother of that child. But nevertheless, she was a godly woman. And she stepped aside and just thought about these things. She kept them in her heart. She meditated on them, and we need to do that as well. Because there's some of you that are celebrating Christmas, and you would be aghast if the country did not celebrate Christmas, but you have never trusted in the very one who laid in that manger and ultimately died on the cross. And if I were to ask you if you're saved, you would say, "Well, nobody can know that for sure." But the reason the Lord came is so that we could know that for sure. He came to save his people from their sins. His name was called Jesus, so he could save his people from their sins. And so if I were to ask you if you're saved and ready to die, if you'll be in heaven when you die, and if I were to ask you that, many of you who would be celebrating Christmas would say, "Well, we can't know that for sure." Well, if you can't know that for sure, it's because you don't trust in the truth of Scripture that said Christ died for our sins. You don't trust in the fact that God did so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it concerns me that today there is so much hustle and bustle, so much electronic media, so much music, so much going on that we can't sit back and ask ourselves, do we really understand why the Lord came? Do we really understand why he died? Have we really personally trusted him? Do we know that our sins are forgiven and that we're going to heaven? This is the purpose of this baby that came into Bethlehem's manger. And if you're celebrating Christmas and you've never trusted him, there's something amiss here. You need to really trust in the one that was born in Bethlehem's manger to Mary, but who died on a cross outside the city gates of Jerusalem about 30 years later. You need to trust him. And so this morning, as I see us going into the Christmas season, and I'll be leaving the story of the Lord Jesus and going into the story of how John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord to perform his public ministry, as we go into all of that, I want you to think about your own relationship with God. It's a shame if you're going to give presents in the name of the Lord Jesus and have never received the present that he wants to give you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he wants to give you that gift. And at Christmas time, it would be an awfully good time to receive the gift that God has provided for you. And if you have received that gift, if you are saved, then don't allow the trappings of Christmas to take you away from the reality of the worship, the real worship of the living God. There should be time in this Christmas season for us not only to spend time with family and friends, but to spend time with the Lord and to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. And if we are saved, we should be reminding our friends and our neighbors that here is one who we worship at Christmas time, and many people are worshiping him in the pagan way, and they're worshiping him in the religious way, but they're not worshiping him from their hearts in the true way by trusting him for their salvation. So, friend, this is a time to do like Mary and to keep these things in your heart and to think on them. You know, we today try to persuade people to believe what we believe, but the interesting thing is that God wants to persuade you to believe the truth of the scripture. And the only way he can do that is if you do take time to think about these things, keep these things in your heart, and to think about whether you really believe that this was a miraculous conception, a normal birth, and then ultimately a crucifixion that involved a resurrection from the dead. And do you really believe that this one is no longer in the grave, but that he's coming again? Some of us try to be in a place every Lord's Day where we can remember the Lord by taking a loaf of bread and a cup of wine. Just a simple thing to memorialize him. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And then again he said, "As oft as you do this, you do proclaim his death till he come." And so do you really believe in one who, yes, was born miraculously, born actually naturally, conceived miraculously, born naturally, who died on a cross, who was buried, was raised again the third day, and who is coming again? Friend, this one that you're worshiping to this season in his innocency, in the innocency of an infant, and all that that represents is one who is going to come again, and he's either going to come as our judge or he's going to come as our Savior. And for those of us who are saved, we're told that we are going to be delivered from this evil world and from all that's going to take place on it, because there's a time coming when God is going to hold the unbelieving world accountable for having rejected Christ. And we are going to be saved from all of that. And friend, the only way you're going to be saved is if you've really trusted in the one that you hear so much about in this season. And you can't just worship him in a formal way or in the way the world says you need to believe in him from your heart. Mary kept these things in her heart. I hope you have thought about them and meditated on them and have come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who we say we are honoring at this season of the year. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened. We pray for thy blessing upon the program. We just commit it to thee and trust that you'll use this for thy glory in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.